Excited to talk hoops with our next guest, a tremendous player here in town as a North Eugene Highlander, part of some outstanding Washington teams who, if my math is correct, made the big dance every year but one, including a Sweet 16 in 1995. Now an ace reporter, one of our favorite analysts for the Pac-12 Network. On Twitter, use the handle at Elise M. Woodward. Elise, thanks for the time. How's life treating you during the madness that is our lives here in 2020?
Well, Steve, thanks for having me. You know, I think I probably drank a little more wine over the last 8 months than I have my previous, when everybody's working all the time. But I'm just so glad that we're finally back to having sports at the collegiate level, because it's my passion. I love following it. And these kids only get to do it for 4 years, and it's a huge part of their life and their goals, and so I'm just thrilled that at least they're trying. It hasn't been pretty in terms of the cancellations and never knowing what's going to happen. And I mean, even Washington State getting canceled versus Cal in football right before kickoff. I just felt so bad for those guys, but hanging in there like everybody, just trying to make it through.
Well, I could attest to the fact about the wine, and my wife and I, now having everything delivered, we're just like, we've given up on bottles and just gone straight to boxes. So
going economy size, huh, Steve?
Absolutely. So,
sometimes you got to do it.
You know, obviously growing up in Eugene, I don't have to tell you, the Huskies were an arch enemy. And when you played for the Dogs, Jody Runge had turned this program around. But when you think back to those games, those matchups, either at Heck Ed then or Mac Court, I mean, how awesome was it to be a player in that rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, it was a thrill for me as a kid that grew up in Eugene. I went to so many Duck games. My brother played football at Oregon. He was a lineman, so he was 6 years older than me, so I grew up going to a bunch of football games. I was at Mac Court all the time. My dad worked for Timber Products, and they would give him tickets because they were huge supporters of Oregon athletics. I got to go a lot to the men and the women at Mac Court, which I love that place, and that's where I got to play. I mean, it's funny. Matthew Knight is a beautiful arena. It's like a lot of the NBA arenas that I've had the pleasure of going to and working at, but I mean, there's a soft spot in my heart for old Mac Court, I got to tell you that. I would go to the very, very tippy top and do laps and look at all the stuff. I just loved that place, and it smelled like kind of an old barn or something. It had such a unique smell. And so anyway, as somebody that, at Oregon at the time that I was getting recruited, it was kind of in a transition period. It was the last year of Elwin Heine, and Washington was very good, so I just made the decision, and I loved the school, and my parents were close enough to be able to drive, so I made the decision to go be a Husky. And coming back to Mac Court, it was a thrill, as I would have liked to have gotten some more wins, that's for sure, wearing the purple and gold, but, it was certainly something that I'll never forget.
Before we get into Oregon and OSU, Tara Vanderveer just tied the late Pat Summitt, a woman whose name is synonymous with the game for most wins. So not only the achievement, and I think you mentioned it on the broadcast, going against maybe a former player, which Tara takes pride in. So just your thoughts on this historic achievement and the coach who's just done it with class and quality.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had the good fortune in my profession to be able to interview and get to know a lot of different coaches, from Mike Holmgren in the NFL, who, Super Bowl winning team that, I got to do a weekly show with him, to all kinds of guys that were great coaches and women. And it's a thrill of mine, because I love picking the brain of high level coaches and what's important to them and what they value. And I will say that without a doubt, Tara Vanderveer is as smart and as planning and as good in devising a game plan as anybody at any level in any sport. And she's so competitive, and she's very low key. She's not one of those like Pat Summitt that had the eyes that were like blinding with intensity and like intimidated you just by looking at her, right? Tara's not that way. She's very thoughtful. She's very, just smart. Like, get to the point and let's go. But talking to her, and every time I go to one of her practices, I learn something new. And I think she's a genius, an absolute genius. And that's only, you know, for the players lucky enough to be good enough and smart enough to go to Stanford and play for her. They're very lucky. But what she's done for the entire Pac-12 conference, it was Stanford. And then everybody else kind of took turns being the team that wanted to try to challenge them. It was Oregon for a while in the mid-90s. You know, they went and, you know, tried to, you know, had a little run there. UCLA had a little run. SC had a little run with Lisa Leslie and Tina Thompson. UW had a little bit of a run. I mean, there's ASU had a good run. Oregon State. Everybody was trying to get to Stanford, and Tara did not react as somebody, as people were coming for me and was, like, trying to push them back down. She literally tries to help all these other programs. She's very close with Corey Close, who's at UCLA. And I just have so much respect for how she has built the women's game. The Sabrina Ionescu, in my opinion, just wouldn't have gone to Oregon if Pac-12 basketball wouldn't have been so great. And Tara Vanderveer is a major reason why it's so great. And she's affected so many on the West Coast. And the Pac-12 is the best conference in America for women's basketball. And it is directly related to what Tara has done to build it. So no, mad respect for her.
Absolutely. We continue with Elise Woodward of the Pac-12 Network. You mentioned the Ducks, and of course last year will always be great, but heartbreaking for what might have been. They lose that big three to the top of the draft, plus Mignon Moore. And in turn, they bring in five stars. Taylor Mikesell, a transfer from Maryland. Niara Sabali, Sedona Prince, heal up. Talk about building a program, Elise. What does that say about Coach Graves, Jody Berry, and what this staff have created here, being able to just reload like that?
It's really impressive because you can build a team with Sabrina and Ruthie and Satu and, you know, for the final year of that, Mignon, after transferring from SC. That's a great team. It's an amazing team that, in my opinion, would have won the national championship. I would have put them as the favorite over South Carolina. But to build a program, you, in college, you only get players for 4 years. And so you have to constantly, there is no downtime. You have to constantly be out there and not only trying to recruit the very best athletes that fit your program, but then trying to balance it so that, you have players that are great players that don't want to sit ever. They don't want to come as a freshman and usually wait. And so what Kelly was able to do is really impressive because he got buy-in from five-star kids. And a transfer from Maryland, Mikesell, who's one of the best shooters in the nation and was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And Sedona Prince, who, you know, was an All-American in high school and part of USA Basketball and went to the University of Texas. So, I mean, he has all of these on the roster on the right at the same time. And that's just excellent recruiting. It's the ability to have players buy into a team goal. And you've got outstanding players that are not going to see more than 10 minutes a game. And another program is going to be starting. And they might be a leading scorer. So, you know, as they, not to say right now that they're the favorite to win it all, but they certainly have a lot of talent that, you know, his cupboard is packed with filet mignon getting ready to cook, I'll tell you that.
Let's get to a few specifics. You know, when Sabrina leaves, you lose more than the stat sheet. She led, she inspired, and I love Taylor Chavez and Aaron Boley to partly fill those roles. But as far as being that floor general, now you've seen the freshman Tahina Pau-Pau a few times. Elise, how well suited do you think she is to kind of handle that role?
Well, I'll tell you, nobody will be Sabrina, not just with her moxie and her competitive fire and her leadership. Like, that's just all of the package of Sabrina, that was Sabrina. However, I think Tahina Pau-Pau is an absolute star in the making. I love her game, and she's just so cool, and she makes everything look so effortless and smooth, and she's got that great big smile. You didn't see Sabrina smile very much unless they're ahead by 30 and, you know, something like that. Like, that's just not different personalities, right? But I love the flow of the game that Pau-Pau brings. She's just, I think she's going to be a really good one that's got, star potential all over her to lead that team.
Joy of the game, I call it, and she's got it.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought what you said at halftime was perfect. The ball movement, not only whipping it around the perimeter, but inside as well. I think you called it a clinic against the zone. And, you know, 25 assists on 31 buckets is crazy. But Does the fact that they're doing this with so many faces and going 11 or 12 deep kind of add a little more to the impressive factor?
I think there's no doubt, especially in the trying times that we're in, where you don't get as much practice time. You didn't get as much conditioning time. You didn't get exhibition games or scrimmages. You don't have practice players where, you know, a lot of times to scrimmage against yourself, 6-7 women, they don't, they're very rare. They are the unicorn in the world of basketball, right? 6'5", 6'7" women that can play. If they can, they're on your team. So when you're trying to scrimmage, it's very difficult to have Sedona Prince be challenged unless she's playing against another starter like Sabalee. You know, certainly for Oregon, they have more depth than anybody else. But the point being is that without male practice players coming in, that's such a gift that so many programs utilize, because you can find a 6'5 guy that played in high school that was a good post player. It's very difficult without practice players to really scrimmage and improve and get stronger and do a lot of these things. So I think it's, you know, to be able to do what they did against the zone and to do that against a 6'9 center for Oregon State who's very capable, there's no way that they could practice that look in practice. Like, unless you put up, and a lot of coaches do this, they literally bring a broom to practice and they put it up. You got to shoot over the top or pass around a broom. So I was very impressed with how they can space you out with shooters. And then the ability for Sedona Prince to be so adept at passing inside the key. That's a really difficult skill for a lot of post players who are usually, as youngsters, just put on the block and, you know, say turn and score. It's not put you at the high post and, you know, learn how to get, you know, who's open and the cutters and all of those things. It's a really high level skill, but she's got a natural feel for it. And that's a huge weapon against a zone to try to break it down when you have 6'7" that can pass and just see over the top of a guard in the top of a zone. I mean, she just, it's not even like they're there. So it was impressive.
Yeah, Coach called Satu last year the unicorn. I was like, with Sedona, more of a Swiss Army knife. I mean, you mentioned her skill set, but you knew at that size she could play the post, rebound, and now we see her make face-up buckets. I mean, what she is now, just getting started, could we just kind of push it into the future and think of how remarkable she's going to be?
Yeah, I think there's no question. I felt really bad that she turned her ankle, and it was a pretty nasty-looking turn against Colorado. So it was unfortunate she couldn't play against Utah. And every game is a gift for all the different reasons, but especially for a kid that hasn't played since the summer before her freshman year. I mean, it's been forever, and then she had to sit out. And, gosh, in warm-ups at Gill Coliseum, it made me giggle, and I was so happy for Sedona because, you know, she couldn't play the week. She didn't get to practice some, and there's nothing else to do, right? Like, it's finals week's probably over by now, so you're just sitting around. You just want to play some hoop. And she was able to get out there. And in warm-up, she was dancing, and she was singing, and she tried to dunk twice. And she was, like, she was just having a ball before the game even started. So, you know, I just think for her, she's got to get more reps, and she's got to get in really good game shape. She hasn't played for so long. But she's a player that, again, is just so skilled and has a really high ceiling, and it's just exciting for her to be back and be healthy.
Final thought for Elise Woodward of the Pac-12 Network. Niara Sabali, of course, who's experienced that frustration, missing back-to-back seasons with knee injuries, you know, just the dedication to make it back. All we heard was how capable she was, but now you finally get to see, you up close and personal, the entirety of her game. Elise, what kind of player can she become for this program?
Well, I was really impressed. And it's funny because on this team, it's, I think, a situation where on one game, Sabalee might be the best player on the floor. And the next game, it may be Prince. And the next game, it may be Pow Pow. And then it's going to be Mike Sell shooting. But I've seen some glimpses from Sabalee that were really impressive. She's just really strong. She's a different type of player than her sister, who is a wing player, that would get in and rebound and do that, but as a slasher, not as somebody that is on the block and is just stronger than you. And Sabalee has taken already a lot of contact and a lot of hits and has finished and doesn't seem affected by people leaning on her or trying to push her out at all. She just goes right through them. It's been impressive to see. And she's really good defensively. She holds her ground and yet also has the lateral movement to not get beat off the dribble. So when you're that strong, it's like running into a brick wall that you can't turn the corner. Like, it just keeps going. And so you're not going to go through Sovaly, and she doesn't let you go around her either, which is really impressive. So she's going to be somebody that on the inside, I mean, she shut down some really good interior post players defensively already this season.
Folks, she is Elise Woodward, North Eugene Highlander, Washington Husky.
Go Highlanders!
ace analyst for the Pac-12 Network. I so enjoy not only your work and your analysis, but the passion you bring to the job, Elise. We greatly appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. I'm wishing you and yours well, safety, and now I always throw in sanity.
Appreciate
the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and
for sure. Well, hey, can I say one more thing real quick when you bring up the Highlanders? Just, you know,
sure,
I'm sure.
Of course.
One of my great mentors passed away during COVID, North Eugene Highlander girls soccer coach. And he was an amazing guy. Taught me how to be tough. Loved this guy with everything. And I'm super sad because we always exchanged Christmas cards and chatted during the holidays. And he passed away of cancer, Phil Dubois. And his daughter is Brandy Dubois, who is currently the girls soccer coach at North Eugene. And has done wonderful things with that program. And then her daughter is playing at Oregon on the girls soccer team. But much love to them. If anybody in the Eugene area knows, he was just an amazing guy, great coach. And everybody's a better person and a lot tougher for having Phil Dubois in their life. So anyway, just shout out to his family here during the holidays so they can find some peace.
No, great tribute. My son is a Highlander class of 2002, and sorry for your loss. And again, Elise, greatly appreciate your time and insight. Be well and be safe, and obviously I hope we can catch up again as the season moves along.
Yeah, no problem. Happy doing it anytime, Steve. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
All right, be well. Take care.